Way Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, once again, I'm so glad to be with you. It's another day that Jesus has given us. The Bible says, let us rejoice and be glad in Him. And I like the slogan, Jesus is alive, Jesus lives. I like to paste that all over the place. The other gods are all dead. They can't do anything, but Jesus is the living God that is alive and well. I was listening to the program, Chris Long, right before this program came on, and I was thinking about how somebody was criticizing Jeff, the pastor in Dallas, Texas, for being involved in politics. And I was thinking, well, what about Martin Luther King? I thought he was a Baptist pastor. I suppose wasn't he involved in politics? And then most liberal ministers, it seems like that's the main thing of their message and so on, is liberal politics continuously being involved in it. But when a preacher that believes the Bible is involved, why, he gets criticized for that. And then they were talking about America being a Christian nation. Recent surveys showed that the great majority of people actually, in the survey, showed that they identify with Christianity. So in that sense, we could say it is. And we look at the founding fathers, and they try to deny that. But Patrick Henry was certainly a dedicated Christian, the governor of Virginia, the one that said, give me liberty or give me death. And in his last will, he said, most of all, I give you a knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And he was outspoken in his faith in Christ. And then you look at George Washington, and he wrote everything down. I think they found 100 volumes of things that he wrote down, and he would write down a prayer every day. And if you want to read something interesting, read his prayers that he prayed. I think that he was about as knowledgeable as the Bible and Christianity as anybody that I've ever read in my life. And you can read a page after page of his prayers. He would say things like, I thank God for the immaculate blood of Jesus that takes away our sins. If that's not talking about a Bible-believing Christian, and at that time some of the Puritans were persecuting a Congregationalist Baptist, and at that time he put John Gano in charge of Congress Army, I'll get this right yet, and the Chaplain Corps, that's what I want to say. I get it out. John Gano, and he was a Baptist pastor when Baptists were still being persecuted at that time, and he was a very good friend of John Gano. At the end of the American Revolution, John Gano baptized George Washington, and John Gano was the pastor of the First Baptist Church of New York City, but the evidence is documented. Courts want records, documented records. Well, you can read the prayers of Washington and some of these individuals. And so Christianity has been very strong all along in America, has influenced America tremendously. But, you know, the humanist today, it's a great religion in America. Humanism is man is his own God, and humanism is very intolerant. And they want you, if you're making cakes, they want you to make a cake to promote their ideology, a lot of times of abortion and sodomy. And so if you don't promote it and you have a humanist judge, he'll put you in jail if he can. And we've seen that. They not only want you to, they're against freedom of your convictions and speech and freedom of religion in that sense. They want you to affirm their humanist philosophies and ideas. And it's taught as in America, but it's intolerant. And in the United States, it was very much influenced by Rhode Island, where Dr. John Clark and other Baptists set up that state. And in line with the Bible, which teaches that each man answers to God, they had total freedom of religion in Rhode Island. And, of course, many Jews went to settle in Rhode Island, and they had a place of refuge from the persecution that they had suffered, and many other people had suffered, and then that became a pattern for much of the rest of America. But, you know, I want to get on and talk about something else also today, because we have a movement today now. As much as we believe in freedom of religion, freedom of speech, we do not believe in mixing them. There's a difference, and the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation. Why? Because he's God. And if he's God, and God is not a product of our imagination, if God is something that man made, then all gods are equal. But if God is objective beyond man's thinking, and that God has introduced himself to man through the Word of God, then he is true. And God, the Bible says, came to earth. Now, the whole Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was God who came to earth. It's taught by the prophet King David. And God said, "Thou art my son," as a prophecy of Jesus. And I have given thee, "Thou art my son, this day have I made thee." You know, and so it's taught in Isaiah 9:6-7, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." In Ecclesiastes, it talks about God and what is his son's name. God has a son taught all through the Word of God, all through the Bible. All the prophets of the Bible would teach that. Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which is God with us. Now, if Jesus was God and he claimed to be, then he is our only salvation. And he is called the Savior. And in the Tanakh or the Old Testament, God says, "I am the only Savior." And yet Jesus is the Savior. And so as Christians teach that Jesus is our Lord, our God, and our Savior. And Thomas saith unto Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Now, because of this, Christianity is unique. And in the early periods of Christianity, first it was spread, but we had Domitian, and right at that early time of Christianity, he allowed Christianity to be spread because Pontius Pilate had written letters to the Roman emperors, and it was the Emperor Tiberius. And he was the emperor while Jesus was on the earth, and they called, even in the New Testament, they called the Sea of Galilee, Sea of Tiberias. Well, he was emperor at that time, and of course, Pontius Pilate would report to Tiberius whatever was going on, and obviously Pontius Pilate had reported about Jesus' death and resurrection, because after this, it's recorded in Roman history that Tiberius went before the Senate and wanted to recognize Jesus as a god. The Senate at that time turned him down, but nevertheless, there it was. And he was the emperor at the time of Christ, so obviously Pontius Pilate had reported Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, shortly after that, though, because the emperors were worshipped as God, and because although at that time they had many different gods that people worshipped, as the Roman Empire would conquer the country, as long as they worshiped the emperor, they could continue to worship their own gods. But when Christianity came along, they said that Jesus was Lord. And Christians, when they were brought before the governor would say Caesar is Lord and offer incense. And the Christians would say, "Well, Jesus is Lord, I cannot do this." And then the governor, three times, he would give them warning, and if they did not do it, sometimes they were beaten to death right on the spot, or else they were given, they had to make a guest appearance in the Colosseum and be torn to shreds by lions, and thousands were. At that time, they refused to say, deny that Jesus is Lord. And by the way, that's going on today. Say, Christians are murdered every day because they refused to deny Jesus as Lord. They called that at that time the victory that they had, because that was a victory over the false gods then, and it's a victory over the false gods that they have in the world today when Christians refuse to deny Jesus. That was the day of their victory. They refused to deny Jesus, and immediately on their physical death, they are taken, because Jesus said, "He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And thank God for that wonderful thing. Now, today we have syncretism taking place. And first of all, we have movements towards syncretism in the Roman church. And they have a church, they have a movement by a priest, I believe, what I've heard is behind this, called the Emerging Church, and they're supposed to get rid of all the old thoughts. Well, the Bible says that we're supposed to follow the old ways, and the old ways may be the Word of God, Jesus' words found in, given to us by the apostles and translated and given to us from the translations that the apostles were given when they had the gift of tongues, and they were given the words, then they were given the translations, and they're mentioned in the book of Acts, the many different languages, and then these translations were translated into the King James Bible, and we stand for it because it's the apostolic text. It's the words of Jesus Christ through the apostles. And he said the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into all truth. First he gave them the words, then he gave them the translations and the gift of tongues. And then it was passed on, and he said, James now says, we can look at the perfect law of liberty. So we have the perfect Word of God today in the authorized King James Bible, the Word of God. Now we have the corrupt translations, and so we have a syncretistic movement today. Now, I was reading in the Roman Catholic Bulletin, because I listen to their programs and read and study what the priests are taught. I study what the different religions and ideas are taught. It's fascinating to me. And so they have this movement in the Emerging Church, and it talks about a religion that appeals to senses. You know, it says you have a dark church, and you have something that appeals to the smell and to the sight and to the music and to all this. All of this business in the Emerging Church, well, that is, Catholicism has already produced that. They've already been into that type of stuff there. And so it's that, again, is a syncretistic movement. But then there's more to it than that, because I was reading in the Universe Bulletin how the Pope was having Mass or something with, and they were praising us. I wonder with different of the pagan religions of I don't know if it was Hinduism and Buddhism and so on, then they were getting together for an ecumenical Mass. And by the way, the ecumenical movement in the Roman Church is to put everybody under the papacy. Well, he's promoting an ecumenical movement with all the religions of the world. Now, it's talked about in the book of Exodus, and in Exodus, why they... the Jewish people had come out of Egypt, and Moses had gone up to the mountain. They didn't like all the commandments of God, and God was an invisible God. And so some of the people got together and said, well, let us make gods that come out, that brought us out of Egypt. We don't like this God, you know. And so they got together with Aaron, and they said, make us a God. And so Aaron said, well, get your gold and silver together, and then we'll make and so he carved a golden calf and so on, and they carved this thing, and so they all got together and they started to worship this calf, and they worshiped other gods at that time also, see. And so then they had a big concert going on, and after a while they were beating the drums apparently and having this concert, and Moses and Aaron were up in a mountain. Well, then they come down off the mountain, and Aaron said, what is this? It sounds like a war's going on down there, you know? Well, what it was music. Their music sounded like a war. It sounds sometimes today, if you listen to certain types of rock concerts today, it sounds something like a war, doesn't it? And so Moses says, no, that's not a war. That's just singing and dancing. So they get down there, and they're dancing around this calf naked. Well, Aaron knows he's Moses' associate pastor, you know, and he made this thing and this golden calf, but he realizes that God may not like this too well, so he says, let's celebrate a day unto the Lord. So they're going to worship the calf, but at the same time, they're going to have a celebration to the Lord. Now, you talk about an ecumenical movement. Well, that's what's going on today. And so today we're having meetings and, you know, ecumenical prayer meetings. Now they're moving towards with all the different gods and different religions. Well, what did the Lord say about this? Well, he just about wiped them out at that time, but Moses prayed for them, and he says, let them alone, I'm going to wipe them out. Moses prayed and says, yes, but Lord, you promised to keep them. And so at that time, God told him, he said, say, who's on my side? And the Levites stepped out, and 3,000 people were put to death at that time for what they were doing at that time. Now, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And it's saying that the only method of salvation is Jesus Christ. God has one Bible. He has one church. He has one way of salvation. And so we have, down through the ages, we have the Bible, believe in churches. And, you know, we're not to get together with other ideas, other beliefs, other gods, other religions. And today, the papacy is uniting the religions of the world. They have an ecumenical mass. And I read in the Unitarian Universe Bulletin, the Catholic Church are praising this, getting together and having this religious meeting with these other religions, with other gods. And yet, at the same newspaper, they're talking against fundamentalists. What's a fundamentalist? It's somebody that believes that we are to go by the writings of Jesus Christ and the apostles, or by the writings of the apostles. We're not to follow man's beliefs. We're to go by what Christ said through his apostles. That's what it means. To believe in the fundamentals believes that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, the third day rose from the dead. He bodily rose from the dead. That salvation is through repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You trust him as Lord of your life, and you trust him as Jesus, as Savior of your soul, the one that died for your sins, paid for your sins, and that salvation is through him alone. It's not through sacraments. It's not through anybody's church. It's not through communion. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in the Bible, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not by doing Hail Marys or so on. Now, so that's what it's saying there. We only have one God. Jesus is our Savior. And he alone is the Savior. And St. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I think of also when Jesus went to the wedding of Canaan, and they came to Mary, and they came to Mary, and they said, we need wine. And so Mary went to Jesus and asked him for it. And Jesus said, woman, what have I to do with thee? So he did not even recognize, and he never called her even mother. He just called her woman all through his ministry. And so she goes back, and if you say you're following Mary, Mary says in the Bible, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. But you know, on the Mount of Transfiguration, a picture of the coming millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ, on that mountain, there was Moses and Elijah appeared, because the Bible teaches that they will appear, Moses and Elijah, right before Christ comes back and will do miracles against the Antichrist. And so they appeared, and Peter says, well, let's make tabernacles for Christ and for Moses and Elijah, putting them on the same level as Jesus. And a voice out of heaven says, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And so people today, some of them are dedicated to the saints, which they use with images. And God says, don't make images, dead people. And others are dedicated to Mary. And, you know, the Roman church now has exalted Mary. They no longer have a Trinity. They have a quartet in the Godhead. And they deny this, but they say Mary didn't sin. That's the only God has, the Bible says he is the only one that never sinned. They say that he went to heaven without, she went to heaven without dying. They say that she can hear all the prayers of the world. When they pray, only God could hear them all. They say that she is in every place at the same time. I mean, if you read the book of Ligiori, which is officially promoted by the Roman Church, they say that she is a co-redemptress with Jesus Christ. Well, my goodness, when somebody came to, when the, Mary with the family came to Jesus, what did Jesus say? They said, your mother and your brothers are there. And Jesus said, who is my mother and my brothers? But they that hear the word of God and do it. Another time they came to Jesus and they said to Jesus, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. Talking about Mary, blessed is Mary. And Jesus says, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and do it. Salvation is through Christ. The Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And many Romans Catholics were taught to teach Jesus is the harsh judge that condemns people to hell. Well, he is the judge, but he is the loving Savior that died and was beaten and gave his blood and shed his blood for our sin. You know, when he died on that cross, and he said, it is finished, and salvation is complete. And the very idea that, you know, Mass teaches that it is a continual sacrifice of Christ, and the Roman Church teaches they can turn that bread into the body of Jesus, and then they can sacrifice again, and they say that that body is, that piece of bread is, has blood in it. The Bible says you're not allowed to drink blood or in any case, all through the whole Bible, you know. But then they say that that piece of bread that they turn into Christ is sacrificed again. And so the Mass is a continual sacrifice. That was started by Cyprian in 250. The Bible says, by one offering, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. And it states that all through Hebrews chapter 10, salvation is complete in Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, listen to the words of Jesus. He said, it is finished. Salvation is complete. You don't add anything to it by sacraments, by your good works, but you receive it by repentance and faith in him as Lord and Savior. Thomas says to Jesus, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen and believed. And when you say to Jesus, my Lord and my God, and you believe that he died and his body was broken for you and his blood was shed, Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my body, you do not have a part in me. What's he mean by this? Well, he was sitting there at the table. He didn't mean he was turned into a piece of bread. No, you got to take Jesus in the context of what he says about it. His interpretation was this. He said, the flesh profiteth nothing. Eating a piece of my body would profit you nothing. But he says, as I live off the Father, you live off me. He says, spiritually, I live off the Father. He doesn't live off the Father by eating a piece out of the Father's arm in heaven. No, spiritually. Then he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, he says, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. What are the words? The words that my body died for your sins, was broken for you, my blood was shed for you, to take away your sins, believing those words. Well, for you to believe them, you have to have them. And you don't have to be like the deists today that think that they're hidden somewhere in a cave or in a crocodile's belly somewhere in Egypt. No, God gave us his words, and we have his words today in the King James Bible. And the Bible says, they that gladly received the word were baptized and added unto them. So receiving Jesus' words is salvation, and thank God we have his words today. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. We have eternal life right now. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.